Hello everybody, welcome back to a new Speedrun Education episode. My name is Flesh, and I have interviewed in today's episode TGH, very professional, full-time speedrunner. And I asked him how he learns a new speedrun, and, you know, how he would recommend other new runners to learn their new speedrun or their first speedrun. Since he is quite, you know, really, really good speedrunner, quite experienced, also recently picked up Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 and got really, really good in those two games. I found him being a really fitting guest for this topic. I already covered partly this topic in last week's episode, if you don't remember, where we talked about how you improve as a speedrunner, how you learn a new speedrun, how you build up muscle memory, etc, etc. But I find it really important to get another point of view into this topic. Teach, you know, covers a lot of similar points I covered last week, so, you know, there's still stuff we both explain kind of similarly, but there's also a lot of new stuff, and maybe that second point of view is going to help you out. So give this one a try, even if you listen to the previous one. Maybe you'll learn a little bit more out of this one. He covers a bunch of things I wouldn't have thought of myself, and I also learned something from him in today's episode. I'm completely honest with you. Episode is like 50 minutes long, but it's totally worth to listen to. I learned a ton. I had fun with talking to Teach. He's just a great person, great speedrunner, has a great history of being a speedrunner. So yeah, I think a lot of people can look up to him. So yeah, give this one a try. Hope you learned something from it, and now have fun with the episode. Hello everybody, welcome to another Speedrun Education Podcast episode. Today I have TGH again with me, and we are going to talk about a second time, but today with Teach, how to learn a new speedrun, how to get into speedrunning, and like how to improve as a speedrunner. So yeah, Teach, let introduce yourself, because maybe someone doesn't know who you are.
What's up? Hi, it's been a while. I'm TGH, I'm a speedrunner. I think a lot of people, like probably most people, if you do know me, you probably know me from Celeste Speedrunning. But I've moved on recently to like classic Zeldas. Like I did always speedrun Link to the Past since like 2 or 3 years ago, but I've recently taken up Zelda 1, Zelda 2, yeah, and been running all three games pretty much simultaneously as part of a single trilogy speedrun. So mm-hmm. it's been really cool. It's been a fun change from Celeste for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, especially that this is going to be like the main topic of today's episode, because CGH has recently picked up Zelda 1 and Zelda 2, and he, for most people's opinions, have shown greater success in those games, like getting sub 30, I think, in Zelda 1 and sub 117 in Zelda 2, 100% all keys, which is like, you know, both top 25 times within, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months of playing those games. Really, really good for like these older games, really, you know, optimized, different to control, kind of difficult for casual players. So yeah, how did you went through like Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 in the recent months, and how did you learn those games? Like what was your journey through those games? Don't go too much into the learning aspect, we go to that later, but how did you went through those games?
Sure. Well, I think it's really important to be aware of like all the resources that are available before you start learning, and I think that makes things so much easier than people realize. Like for instance, both Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 have really good things called practice hacks. Like mm-hmm. So someone like basically edited code to make it so that you can change the state of things in game in order to practice things easier. And it also helps that, like, you know, I have save states on my EverDrive, so I have basically, I have my NES, it's right here, it's next. And I have one of these called an EverDrive. An EverDrive is basically something that allows you to play like ROMs on an actual cartridge. Mm-hmm. So it's hardware. So it's all hardware based. So you like put an SD card, or you put ROMs on an SD card, and there's a little slot at the top of the EverDrive that, you know, you put the SD card into. And you put that in your NES, and you can basically just play the game on your NES. And it comes like with the EverDrive comes a feature called save stating, yeah, which means you can save a state in game, which means you can like access that state again and again whenever you want to. And it makes practicing things very, very easy. You know, provided you know how to use them properly. Like sometimes RNG can be a pain to deal with. Like you don't want to practice the same RNG over and over and over, stuff like that. But So there's certain quirks with it, but once you learn how to do that, like it makes practicing so much easier. a lot of games, like especially like modern games, like for instance, I'll use another example of a game I speedrun, Link's Awakening for the Switch, Zelda Link's Awakening, the 2019 release. There are no save states for that game. That's on the Switch. We don't know how the hell to deal with that.
Yeah.
So basically what you do there is, what I do is I have a bunch of Switch profiles. I have maybe four or five Switch profiles, and every one of those profiles are just filled with save files of like certain areas in the game to practice. So if I want to practice a certain area in game or a certain like, you know, segment or whatever, I will go to that save file and go practice that segment. It just makes practicing super like efficient, especially when you know what you need to work on. And we can talk about that later if you want to, like knowing things to go over, like knowing things to work on as a speedrunner. But if your game does have resources attached to it to be able to learn things quicker, just make sure you are as aware as possible of those resources before you start.
Yeah, no, especially like all older games, you have like those save states on a hardware with EverDrive. Like this is like kind of expensive. A lot of people don't have those resources, but you can also speedrun most, you know, speedruns older games on emulators, or like at least practice on emulators. So that's like an available option for you. Those also have like save states, or you can use those practice ROMs. Another example, what I realized only a little lately, I played Celeste for the first time on PC with like all the speedrun mods and debug mod, and practice was so much easier and simpler than like practicing it on the console with like just, you know, entering the certain chapter in the certain save point. So
I don't know how you did it on Switch for so long, man. I seriously don't.
No, I went into the speedrun mode and was like, okay, so now I can practice this room like forever.
But now instantly. I can just spam tech.
And it's
now
like
so, this over
so,
and over.
It's so much quicker and easier to do. It's like kind of crazy, and I will definitely use it more. So yeah, definitely it helps a lot if you have those resources. And honestly, like most games, most speedrun communities are really, really desperate to work on those resources, so just go check out your game if it has practice resources. It makes life a ton easier. So one thing I saw when you were learning Zelda 2, because I watched your casual playthrough, which was like a very interesting experience. And I think there comes one thing you also said in the last time we recorded together, that you are not really that talented, quote unquote, as a player. Like when I saw you playing Zelda 2, it looked like similar to my Zelda 2 experience. Like you're just a normal gamer, like we all are probably. But how do you go from that like casual first playthrough to actually learning a game? Because that's like a point where it seems like you can pick up stuff very, very quickly. So how did you went from like Zelda 2, from that first casual experience that was like, you know, the traditional Zelda 2 casual experience to like learning the speedrun and, you know, getting your first goals and first times in like the back, basically?
Well, it's always hard at first. It's always really hard. And if you watch my first like actual attempts at speedruns, like, you know, in addition, not just my casual, but like if you watch my first few attempts, like it took me maybe like 80 to 90 hours of total like attempts at speedruns to actually get game, like to get a run without game overing in Zelda 2. Which if you weren't aware, the category I run for Zelda 2 requires you to not game over. So it's actually like because like game overing, you know, counts as death warping to the start of the game. So it's banned. Like you can't death warp. Like it's kind of a classic like rule that was like passed down from SDA, like Speed Demos Archive times, where like you can't save and quit. That would count as a forced game over or save and quit. It's the same thing in Zelda 1 and also Zelda 3. But anyway, yeah, it takes a lot of time to be able to like get used to like just get the game feel in, like, you know, that's needed to play it adequately. And it's like, I feel like a lot of people are discouraged at first by like, oh, this game is really hard. Like this game, you know, like I'm never going to be able to get good at this game. I'm never going to be able to, you know, not game over in this game. And, you know, but I feel like if enough time is put into a game to like really develop that game feel, then those feelings are short-lived most, because you know you're essentially like every single time you play, you learn something, and that's like that's the most important thing is you need to learn something. You need to be able to take something away every single time you play. And sometimes I'm good at that, sometimes I'm not. But when I am able to like learn from what I do, learn from my mistakes, that's when I improve. That's when I'm able to like take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned earlier, like it really helps to know exactly what you need to work on. So how do you know exactly what you need to work on? You do runs, you do full runs.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I mean, I don't care how bad you are at the game at the start, you need to complete the game. You need to finish your runs. Like, I mean, even when I game over it, I still finish the run, even though like the run is invalid for the leaderboard. I don't care. Like, I'm just learning the game. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. And I think that is the step that a lot of people skip or don't really feel like taking that will make a big difference in the way you perceive the game and the way you develop your game feel.
Yeah, no, totally. I feel like a lot of people, like me included, sometimes are like just discouraged from doing your first full run. Like I see, I feel like it's a valid way to learn a speedrun by just like learning individual levels over and over and over until you feel like confident enough to do your first full run. Like, I don't know about Brooklyn, who is like a Yoshi's Island speedrun who is currently learning Celeste, and he's just learning ILs over and over and over, and it's like really already like learning faster threats than me, but he hasn't really done a first full run, and he's like already over a thousand hours into Celeste without, I think he has only done it 2 or 3 full runs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's like very dedicated, but he's also like, he was world record holder in Yoshi's Island 100%, which is like one of the most technical speedruns. So he knows what he's doing. But yeah, for a new runner, it's like the most important that you don't care about how good or how bad you are. You just do your runs because you get like experience in how much you actually like the run, how it feels. And you just, yeah, you know, it's like also really important that you do, for example, a casual playthrough before you do the run, because you want to know the controls, you want to know where you go. It's like, yeah, those simple things make everything a lot easier.
Yeah, I want to add something onto what I said, by the way. Like, you mentioned that Brooklyn is her name.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you want like basically like, so doing full runs works for me. It may not work for everyone, but like doing full runs, I think, is still important for everyone to do. Because like, you know, like they very likely know, like they very likely know how they improve, like how well they improve when they do certain things. And they know that they need to work on each individual part of the game, you know, maybe before they want to start running, because that's just the way they operate. Like, that's totally valid. That's totally fine. Every runner is different in that regard, but the most important thing is that you find your way to know like where your weaknesses in the run is. Like where you're really struggling, you know, maybe you die a lot in one part of the run, like, but you know, you're never gonna know until you actually do runs and like and play the game.
Yeah,
you know, so like, so that's very, very important.
Yeah, that's also one thing I addressed in one video, where like no recent runs are essentially really good at showing you your weaknesses, because if you practice for doing full runs, and most people practice for completing a full run under a certain time, and you do a lot of full runs, you realize quickly like where you're good, where you're not so good, where you're consistent, where your consistency needs to improve. So yeah. Happy you addressed that. So would you say in general that like just getting experience will make you like, how important is that experience of learning a speedrun? Because like a lot of people, I feel like they look at like a good speedrunner and they be like, oh, he learned so quickly. Do you think like that skill of learning a speedrun comes mainly from like experience and how to, you know, accumulate that experience? Or is there like a little workaround? Is there like a hidden technique or anything? Or
I mean, there's, no hidden, there's no hidden technique. it's just like, you know, like it's you like you get better at something by doing it. And like once you like I'd like to think I'm a pretty experienced speedrunner, like pretty well versed in a bunch of different types of games. Like I have learned in learning those games how to learn a game.
Yeah.
Try saying that five times fast. Like like it's, you know, it's just you get better at something by doing it. And that's it's as simple as that. And like, I don't know. I have nothing else to say about it because like, once you learn a bunch of different types of games, your brain like adapts to that. Your brain is able to like say, okay, like, yeah, I need to learn this way. I need to go about this way. And just, the process becomes so much easier once you do it more than once.
When I first learned, like, I have done speedruns of other games before Celeste, but Celeste was like the first one I really, you know, put a lot of time in, put by far the most time in, and enjoyed and practiced the most. And I first thought, like, I don't know how good I can be. Like, I watched your and Yoshi Pro's race before I did my first speedrun, and I was like amazed by that run and be like, okay, maybe I can do that. That looks a lot of fun. And nowadays I'm like, I literally feel like I could pick up another game, and I understood how to become good and how to practice, and I just feel a lot more confident after doing one game. So, yeah, just doing with like no experience can be scary for people, but like, yeah, just doing it is really, really the best thing to do. So, yeah. Now going more into like strategic plan way, like, do you when you approach a new speedrun, do you have like a plan of what you want to do and how you want to do it? Like, do you have specific goals you set yourself, and how do you go about that? Like, for example, how did you like go about Zelda 1, Zelda 2, because those are the most recent ones? How did you approach those games, like, really in specific, and how did you learn stuff, like, just giving us an idea?
Well, as for goals and stuff, like, Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 were actually very special cases for me, because very, very rarely do I actually have a goal for a game before I start running.
Okay.
Like in 95% of cases, roughly, when I start learning a game, I don't have a goal yet. I just want to do a run, and then I develop goals. Like, say, so for instance, in Celeste, my first run ever in Celeste was about like an hour and 30. It's like an hour and 20.
Yeah, mine too.
My goal, and I knew there was a lot of time to save on my run, obviously. So I made my goal sub hour. Ended up getting sub hour like fairly quickly because, you know, I was getting accustomed to the game very quickly, as you tend to do when you learn to run. But once you do that, then, like, you know, you want to make your goal sub 55, for instance. So it's a very, very, like, it's a goalpost that you just kind of keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly you move that goalpost is completely up to you, completely up to the runner. And it's like, I think there's a certain level of comfort involved with being able to actually do that for yourself, like being able to actually like go at your own pace. Like there's no rush. Like, it's a speed run, but there's no rush, you know, like it's just how you develop and how you improve is completely up to you, completely, and the pace at which you do so is completely up to you. So like for me, I was a dummy, and for Zelda 1 and Zelda 2, I had goals set in mind because I wanted a certain achievement, basically, to get sub 30 Zelda 1, sub 80 Zelda 2, and sub 90 Zelda 3, which I already had. So like from 3 years ago,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Or from 2 years ago rather. So basically, what I ended up doing was I just said, yeah, I'm going to go for these. But that's just me. Like, you know, I felt like I was ready to set that goal for myself before I started.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, and I wouldn't recommend that to anyone who's like just starting speedrunning, just because like, that can get a little bit overwhelming. But like, as for me, like I personally have a lot of time to do like what I do. So I figured I would, like, you know, actually just shoot my shot and go, like, and go for that goal. And I think I ended up like really struggling actually get sub 30 in Zelda 1.
Yeah.
And then Zelda 2, I think fairly quickly, I think within 2 weeks I had the sub 80 Zelda 2. And since then I've lowered that to a 160.
Yeah.
Or a 76. So
that's really, really good.
Zelda 2 is really weird. They go they don't say sub 120, they say sub 80.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why. It's just what they do.
Yeah.
So pardon me for using vernacular that might not be that you might not be familiar with, but like, yeah. So, but yeah, it's just you know, like that's the beauty of speedrunning, is that you can, like, you can go at your own pace. You can either choose to, like, do things super slowly, improve super slowly and at your own pace, or you can just say, you know what, screw it, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna take this either as far as I can go, or I'm gonna take this to this point, and just, like, not really care about the rules once you know them, you know, like, like, first follow the rules, then break the rules, but first make sure you follow the rules, you know? And you'll burn yourself out.
Okay, yeah, great. I actually wanted to say something about this, but I totally forgot it actually.
Tell my aunt for breaking the rules in the first place.
No, it's okay, it's okay.
Let's do as I say, not as I do.
Let's actually just move to the next point, I think, but before we get stuck here on this part, I want to
say. Yeah, yeah, sure.
So let's say, to just make an example for people, how you go through a game. Let's say I want to learn Zelda 2, and I ask you, hey, Teach, how should I learn Zelda 2? Because I liked Zelda 2, I played through it a bunch of times. How should I go about learning that? Would you recommend it the same way to a complete newcomer, or would you, you know, how much does experience come into play, and just go about it? How would you recommend to me to learn Zelda 2? I think that makes a reasonable example.
First things first, join the Discord. Join the speedrunning Discord. And no, I'm serious. It's like, it's so the Discord is full of people who are able and willing to help you with whatever questions you might have about the run. Like, you know, I mentioned earlier, like, know your resources. People who run the game are your best resource.
Yeah.
Essentially. So, like, you know, just like, feel free to consult anyone. Like the Zelda, like the classic Zelda community is so cool, honestly. Like, they are so friendly. They will help you. They will do whatever they can to help you. And they've been super cool to me ever since I've set foot in their domain, and they've been welcoming me with open arms. But yeah, so it's just, people are your best resource as a new speedrunner. Just ask questions, and, you know, get feedback from people. Secondly, I would say to have the practice hack that I mentioned, like, available. Practice hack, make sure that you are able, whether it be via emulator or via console, to be able to load and practice save states. Make sure you're able to, what was the one I wanted to mention? Like, just, so there's a website for both Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 called redcandle.us or redcandle. I think there's a Zelda 1 and a Zelda 2 section, which basically goes over, like, different routes and different guides.
Okay.
For, like, and I think Zelda 1 is actually a lot more fleshed out than Zelda 2 is, for like the actual run and, like, details on the run and how to do certain tricks and stuff. Like, Zelda 1 is very detailed with that. Zelda 2 maybe not quite as, but it's fine. like, and also, like, once you actually, like, start doing runs, like, getting into doing runs, if you want to go for a certain time, you can just check, like look at other runs on the leaderboard and see what they do, especially around the time that you're aiming for. So for instance, when I was going for a sub, when I was going for a sub 80 time in Zelda 2, a really good friend of mine, XIceBlue, I would reference his PB a lot because he had a very high 118. And so I looked at the strats that he did and just like the way he went about the game and like how clean his play was. And I just basically said, okay, this is what I need to do to reach my goal. Like this is essentially like, I don't know if benchmark is the right word, but like this is a really good example of the type of play that I want to achieve. So yeah, people, the Discord, Practice Hack, and other runs on the leaderboard, I think are probably your three best resources, along with Red Candle in Zelda's case, but that's Zelda specific. So yeah, that's like Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 specific.
Yeah, Zelda OOT is also something very similar. Like there's a website where you, like I learned Zelda OOT bingo, and there's like a website where you just type in the bingo board you have, and it gives you like resources for every trick you need to do in order to complete a certain bingo board.
That's actually super useful. Yeah, that seems super, yeah.
It's like, I don't know, like Zelda Ocarina of Time is like a very special case because it's like so massive in terms of resources and what's going on about that game. And I just ventured into that like massive like hall of data and resources. I was like, at first it looks kind of overwhelming, but you know, it's really impressive and very helpful that like people have that kind of, you know, data and resources they can share around, and it's like extremely useful. So yeah, I feel like a lot of people miss that point that like speedrunning is a lot about like just using the information the speedrun community has already developed and trying to replicate that on your own. I feel like a lot of people go around or think about speedrunning that like all learning from others is lame. I feel like a lot of my friends, like private friends, think that like they want to learn it on their own and not learning from friends. So I like, it is a thing to do, but speedrunning is so massive, I think not a single person can ever accumulate everything an entire community has built up to. So
It's fair game to say like, you know, I want to be like an individual here. Like I want to like develop my own or like personalize my own strat set. Like that's totally like valid. That's like honestly like super cool.
Yeah.
Honestly, but like ultimately speedrunning is a community effort. And like in the case of, for instance, Zelda 2, it's like Zelda 2 is a game where, you know, it's been out for what, 33 years?
Yeah, I think so.
And the speedrunning community has been around forever as well. Same with Zelda 1 and Zelda 3. So like the most, like you'll get to a point where like every single segment, every single room has strats like that, you know, are basically like said, okay, like this strat is the fastest strat, period. This strat is what's generally done by top runners or by intermediate runners. It is generally the most accepted strat because it has a mix of consistency and speed. Two things to consider, like always, consistency and speed and strats. Mix and match, balance those how you will. But like, and for instance, a game like Celeste, and I'm going to use the runner Bubai as an example. Bubai and I think like maybe one or two other people in that community has like super individualized strats that like you will see almost nobody else actually do.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. Like at the, like, so that's like on the other side of the coin a little bit. You'll see runners be like super individualized, which is awesome. And you'll see runners following the pack, but there's no wrong or right way to do it. You know, I can speak English, I swear.
Yeah, it's okay.
There's no right or wrong way to do things for speedrunning. Do things on your own, basically.
In Celeste, I also have like a bunch of rooms or like a few rooms. I feel like I'm the only one who's doing it that way. Like they are seemingly extremely
whatever. Like
long as I'm consistent with it and it's not too slow. I mean, and as long as it's fulfilling its duty to get me to a certain time, it's like fine. But be aware that if you want to learn everything on your own, speedrunning is already kind of time consuming. It gets a lot more time consuming depending on your goals, obviously. Like, it's absurd, like you mentioned, Baba, it's absurd how much time he has into Celeste. It's like, he had days where he streams like for 5 hours straight and just doing like one thing, and just trying to observe like what is fast red is like. It's insane. And you know, speedrunning, already learning from other runs and getting consistent with strats other people have developed, is like, you underestimate how much time it takes. So yeah, be aware that speedrunning takes a lot of time.
But it is a very time consuming thing. Yes,
it's very
especially if you want to like reach the top.
Yeah,
essentially it's like, it's very, very time consuming,
but very satisfying once you reach the goals. Like, the more time you sink into a certain time you want, like, let's say you practice like 100 to 100 hours to just get sub 30 in Celeste. When you hit that sub 30, you feel like, you know, you have achieved your life goal basically for that moment. It's like really, really cool. So we talked about goal settings, we talked about like, you know, going into resources. One thing I feel like a lot of people, once they overcome, you know, the beginner step, like in Celeste, let's say you got to sub 40 or like a lower 30 time, a lot of people miss out like how to improve from there. Like, how do you go more advanced? And one thing you mention often in your stream is like, you know, small time saves matter a ton, but people often don't realize how much they matter or how to utilize that. So how do you go from like overcoming the basics to becoming more advanced? How do you practice those things? And you know, yeah, go ahead. Just go ahead.
I think it's really easy to say, like, you know, so for instance, like, my first instinct when somebody comes into my chat, for instance, who's run the game for a long time and who knows what they're talking about, says, hey, you should try this. It saves 3 frames. And it's really easy for your first instinct to be like, 3 frames. I don't care about 3 frames. Yeah. Who cares about 3 frames? It's 3/60ths of a second. 1/20th of a second. It's like, come on, really?
Mm.
The fact of the matter is, like, the more advanced and the more, like, the better you get at your speed game, the more those time saves matter, because the more they add up when you do more of them. Mm. Like, that strat that saves 3 frames, guess what? There are 30 other strats just like it in the game. There are 30 other, like, either similar or dissimilar strats that save 3 frames. This is just an example. Yeah. Like, just like that one. And guess what? 3 frames times 30. What's that? 90 frames. That's 90 frames. So that saves a second and a half. That second and a half could mean a lot when you are like in the top 5, top 10 in your speed game, right? In a case like Celeste, like you said, like sub 40, I would say that that point happens around sub 30, honestly. Yeah. I would say that point happens like around that time. Until then, like, or maybe sub 35 or so, until that point, until you get to like low 30s, it's all about not dying. It really is all about just not dying and dying. Like, and it's kind of the same concept with like deaths, because deaths could take like as little as 2 seconds in Celeste. But again, the fact of the matter is, if you have 10 2-second deaths, that's 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So like, that just, I mean, obviously it sounds like I'm just like doing basic math for the hell of it right now, but like, the fact of the matter is, like, that adds up.
Yeah.
It adds up for like for top runs. So yeah, it's very easy to get caught up in, oh, I don't really care about that. When in reality, you know, as you get further along, it's going to matter more and more. That is, if you are going to like be dedicated to improving. That is, like, it's perfectly understandable for like for someone who isn't really looking to improve. Like, you know, I think a lot of people also don't realize that you don't really need to improve in these speedruns as long as you're having fun. Like, as long as you're having fun with what you're doing, if you don't find a strat fun, or if you don't find, you know, if a strat, like, I've come across strats in runs that make the run, like the entire run, totally not enjoyable anymore for me. Like, it's speedrunning is so fickle like that. But when you actually like basically, let's see if I can regain my train of thought. Shoot. So yeah, like if you feel like ever, like it's just, you need to pick and choose your strats, basically, is I think the bottom line, what I'm getting at. And the further along you get, like on the speedrunning ladder, like the higher up you get on the speedrunning ladder, the more of those strats you're gonna have to. And it's just like, that's the fact of the matter.
Yeah. I forgot again what I wanted to say.
We're all about losing the train of thought today.
Yeah, I'm like really off today. Sorry. But yeah, it's like very, very, I feel like a lot of people struggle to see everything in like the big picture. And even I do that, like when I for example want to practice Celeste again, which is happening soon. I want to get sub 30 this year, hopefully. I sometimes, you know, have a hard time finding, you know, motivation, or not motivation is probably the wrong word, but you know, a specific goal to practice for. Like I know what times I need to acquire sub 30 in like each chapter, but you know, getting there can sometimes be a little difficult if, you know, all you have is, you know, either dying less or, you know, saving that amount, like 0.5 seconds in this room because you implement a little bit of a faster strat. It's like, it's like, I feel like that's one thing that keeps a lot of people like in the mid levels or like close to a high level off like being really, really good, that they're just like having a hard time finding the right motivation and the right way to practice those minor things. Because like, I don't know, it sounds like so stupid, but I often feel like it's like really, really, really hard to, you know, find it sensible that you just need to sit down here and do this like thing that saves 0.1 seconds over and over and over until you're consistent with it, and you do that in every room, and then you do the entire chapter over and over and over until you get like your sub 1 minute city or whatever. And I feel like that's one point where a lot of people on the mid levels to higher levels struggle. Like in a Celeste case, I think that's probably applicable to most other games as well.
It definitely is. Yeah. It's you know, it can get really devastating. You can, like, I went through this several times in Celeste. I felt like I would plateau. I felt like I hit a wall. I felt like I, you know, like I couldn't go any further than I was. And I really wanted to, but I still couldn't. And like, it's just, I don't really know like what to say to that other than just like, if you are feeling that way, it's never a bad idea to take a break, to just like take some time off from the game. And that's exactly what I did with Celeste for a few months. I took a break to play Link's Awakening. Link's Awakening 2019 when it came out in October of last year, or was it September? I don't remember. It was like late last year.
Yeah, it was, I think it was mid-September.
Yeah. So like, no, it was October because Celeste Chapter 9 came out in September.
Yeah, never mind.
Right, it was October, LES, yeah. So I did Chapter 9 for a while. I did some true ending for a while. I don't know what I did with Celeste, but I ended up getting like kind of burnt out. So I went over to Link's Awakening, had fun with that game, and guess what? Same thing happened. I got burnt out in Link's Awakening. I hit a wall. I felt like I couldn't go further. So I went back to Celeste, and then hey, I started to play way better in Celeste because I was more relaxed of about the game.
Yeah.
You know, and then I stopped playing Celeste, went back to LAS, and PB'd in LAS by like 3 or 4 minutes because there was new stuff. It's just like, that's another really good thing about speedrunning. Good segue. This is it's a really good thing about speedrunning is that you have so many games to speedrun. Like, so if you know more than one speedrun, you can easily just like take a break from one if you're burnt out and focus on another for a while.
Yeah.
But it's really, really good in that way, and it keeps it fun, it keeps it refreshing. Never be afraid to switch speed games for a while, or just outright take a break from speedrunning altogether. If it means like regaining, you know, like what you feel like you need, the presence, the the, you know, just like you get tense. I get tense. My shoulders get tense. Mm-hmm. My arms get tense. Taking some time off will help to relieve that tension a bit. Like I took some time off. I think after the Anti-Percent tournament for GSA, to just like play some casual stuff, like on stream, and it was extremely enjoyable. And I wanted to take more of a break, but I got wrapped up in LAS again. So it's hard for me personally to stay away for too long.
Yeah.
But like that was a sign for me that I was ready to come back, because I was like, you know, I was like getting the itch back to come back. So
yeah, no,
don't be afraid to take a break.
This is like one thing I also mentioned in one of my videos, where like that when you take a break and go back to your game, it's like you feel so much more relaxed, because you don't like feel like you need to perform right now. Like when you consistently run a game, you expect something out of you. If you took a break from that game for a month, let's say, you all of a sudden you don't expect too much from you, but you know, most of the muscle memory is still like somewhere in your head, and you play all of a sudden better than you were expecting, and you know, that gives a lot of motivation. And just cycling through different games or categories, like Dangerous, the SMO speedrunner, says he just cycles through every SMO category every now and then and improves all across the categories, because this is like the way he enjoys speedrunning. And having another speed game, or just something you like, we all have another game to play besides the game we want to speedrun, because there are too many awesome games you could experience. Just taking time off can really, really help to, you know, charge up the batteries, charge up motivation. Like it is sometimes very, very, like speedrunning can easily like turn from being extremely fun and, you know, a fun grind experience to be like an exhausting experience where you feel like you can't go faster, and just taking a break is like really, really good.
I'm glad you mentioned categories, because categories can have a very similar effect.
Yeah.
Like switching games altogether. It's like anything that feels fresh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep it feeling fresh.
You know, it's like that's something I think everybody realizes when you get a new game that never has been out, you have never played, you are more motivated to play that game than the other game you've played like for 1,000 hours, but you know, love equally. So the same applies for speedrunning. Like learning a new speedrun can like be extremely motivating, or learning a new category. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, to an extremely high level. As long as you like learn it and enjoy it, you can like use that time to refresh your you know, your frustration. I don't know how to say that, but you can use the time to, you know, regain energy for the speedrun you like mainly run, and
exactly.
Just cycle through that. It's like really, really helpful. So one thing, and that's like the last thing, like I really know if this is actually a good question, but how does like your practice routine, whatever, looks like? How do you practice consistency? How do you practice like a new trick? How do you like practice for your next goal you want to achieve? Like, how do you go in about it? Because I know you probably like practice daily or nearly daily for whatever game you want. And like, how does your practice routine off stream looks like? Because like, that's something a lot of people don't see. And that's like, I think, one thing most, like, almost all speedrun fans don't see. All speedrun fans mostly see either the runner on the stream, like getting a new PBR world record or grinding for that record, or seeing GDQ. But that work behind the scenes is like something a lot of people miss. So it would be cool if you share that experience or that behind the scenes knowledge, and then we are off with a good episode, I think.
I think it's so it's probably more simple than you might think. So basically, so you mentioned consistency and single strats. So for consistency, it's exactly what I mentioned earlier. Like doing no resets or close to no resets, practicing longer segments. Like for instance, if you have like a 5 or 6 minute split in a run, like I do, so it's like for instance, like to the past, like I will practice an entire segment and time that segment. And maybe if I want to compare it to somebody else's who's a top runner, I'll take that time and I'll say like, okay, so where am I losing time?
Mm-hmm.
If need be, like I'll pull up their PB and like maybe I have recorded my segment. Like I will actually like compare the two videos together to see exactly where I'm losing time. So like that kind of goes into like that's actually like going less into consistency and more into like how I can, you know, save time.
Optimize
like
the run.
Figuring out where your time saves are, like mm-hmm. where your time losses are, is one of the most important parts of improving as a speedrunner of a game. But as for consistency, just like doing segments over and over, doing no reset runs, full runs, very important. As for like single strats, that's where save states come in really handy.
Mm.
For games that allow for them, games that you can use save states for, which are, by the way, for me, I can have save states for all three of the classic trilogy, three of the classics of the trilogy. So like that's like super easy for me. But like that's really important if you want to practice a singular trick, that's maybe giving you trouble. Like that's how you want to go about doing it. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, then you do full runs, and sometimes it does take an entire full run to figure out if you are consistent at a trick or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you might know what I mean, but like basically, like if I'm practicing a trick that saves a second in one room of a dungeon that's, for instance, like 40 minutes into the run,
mm-hmm.
and I can do that trick over and over and over in practice and save states, that does not mean I'm going to pull it off first try in a run.
Yeah.
It does not mean that at all. In fact, sometimes it doesn't even mean that I can pull it off in a segment.
Yeah.
If the trick is a minute into a segment and I do the entire first minute of the segment, get to that trick and fail it, guess what? I need to practice the trick more.
Yeah.
And I also need to do like the segment or even a full run to figure out if I'm consistent at that trick yet. If I'm not, I practice a trick more.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just, maybe I said it was simple. Maybe it's not quite as simple as, So like it's simple for me because I've done it so much.
Mm.
Like, but like, I realized that it's probably not as simple as I made it out to be, but basically like that's how I go about it.
No.
Yeah, it's simple once you do it a bunch, trust me. It's simple, like you start to learn how exactly to like to incorporate these things, how exactly to go about like practicing once you do it a bunch. But basically that's how I practice. Like that's just how I function like in practice.
No. Yeah, I totally get what you mean, like because when I was like just last week I had a cool conversation with with a person I met, and I talked to them that hey, I'm speedrunning mainly, and then I talked with them about like OOT speedrun and how crazy that went, and they were like genuinely asking me like how do you seriously speedrun a game, or how do you improve, or how do you speedrun a game in general, and I was like, you know, I was thinking for a moment and be like, hey, it's like not that obvious for most people, like it's like a very strange concept for most people, and like for us it's
sometimes we forget.
Yeah,
sometimes we forget that it's not that simple, but because like just we've our brains are programmed to do it. But you know, like it's not that simple, but like once you like, again, like I said, once you I promise you, once you get used to it, once you do it a lot, once you learn a game or two, once you like put all of it together, it becomes like second nature.
Yeah.
I promise you.
You just need to get the experience in, and there will be frustrating moments. We all can talk about that for forever, basically, but. It can be a lot of fun. You just need to give it a try, find the right speed game for you, and yeah. I think.
I'm sorry I interrupted you, by the way. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's all good. I was just going to say, like, I had also another friend who was, I don't know how they got into Celeste speedrunning, because I always told them my circle of friends, like, if there's anyone who wants to learn speedrunning Celeste, I'm going to teach and help them the shit out of that game, so they can become really good if they want to. And for like 1.5 years, nobody was really interested in learning that game, or like for 2 years basically. And then one friend of mine just played Celeste casually, and you know, looked a bunch of like tutorials up from me and was like really amazed what they can do, like spike jumps in chapter 3 or something. They were like, hey, yeah, this feels really, really cool, I want to do more. And then I told them, hey, this is how you do like chapter 1, this is like how do you do an extended hyper, etc, etc. And they were like, yo, this feels like cheating in the game from their casual experience. And then they just ventured through every room, how they could apply that knowledge. And, you know, then they were chatting with me like, okay, so how could I improve here and there? And then I, you know, told them newest threats, and I told them about like auto scroller block skip, and they were like, holy shit, this feels so cool. And then I tried to tell them like the concept of practicing and like how you improve your consistency, because like they were at that point, they were just like, oh, I did this trick off to the next room. And then when they did the entire chapter, they realized for the most part, they didn't really remembered what they need to do for the right at instant.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, and time. And it's then like, I yeah, yeah. Like, no, when I was learning Celeste, I remember the first few weeks I was like, I getting into the room, I need to think like at least a second to what to do, and then you just go off. And nowadays it's like one consistent flow, and then I, you know, try to explain to them how you get into that flow, how you build up that muscle memory. So yeah, speedrunning, like on paper for us it looks very simple, but getting to that point where it is simple just takes time. Maybe a good person you can ask, building muscle memory and all this stuff. But yeah, hope that episode I think we need to stop here because the episode is going to be way too long by now.
Yeah, sure.
So hope teach tip and tricks help you to learn a speedrun, pick it up, get your resources, do your runs, then get your goals. And once you are at the higher level, realize that small time saves are your best friend. And I think with that, we can stop the episode here. Thank you to GH for being here, for being a second time here. It was really
thanks
fun to
talk
with you.
Thanks.
And yeah, see you all in the next episode. Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. I really, really enjoyed talking to Teach once again. It's so cool to talk with him about speedrunning. He can explain everything, like, you know, so well. He has so much experience. Like, some of the things he mentioned, I didn't think about it. And I learned personally something from this episode. So I hope you learned also something from this episode you can apply to your speedruns. I will now practice Celeste again, because I got really, really pumped after this episode. So I hope you're also pumped to learn something new, learn something and get better. And yeah, next week, or in the next weeks, I'm planning to record an episode with the Go Mode podcast team. Those make a Link to the Past podcast, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast, which is probably the biggest randomizer community on Twitch or in the speedrun world. Really, really competitive nowadays. And yeah, if you are interested in speedrunning randomizers, speedrunning A Link to the Past randomizers, or competitive randomizers in general, watch out for this upcoming episode. It's like, I love randomizers. I love them from the bottom of my heart, basically. And I always like to compete in them, even though I'm really, really bad. So I'm really, really excited to record these episodes. They are going to happen in the next weeks, depending on when we find time to record together. But till then, hope you stick with the podcast. I try to get more weekly episodes out. And see you next week. Goodbye, everyone.